Good morning, Cuse Nation. Welcome to the Upstate Orange Podcast on FingerLakes1.tv and YouTube. I'm Jim Sinacropi here on an abbreviated Monday morning edition of the show from live inside the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls. It's Monday, January 25th, 2016. 1 week ago tonight, Syracuse took down Duke and Cameron, and just last night they came up short to the 13th-ranked Virginia Cavaliers in a game that was postponed by Winter Storm Jonas. That forced this show to be postponed as well, so I'm here on Monday morning. I'm all alone. The professor is not with us. I'll give you my thoughts over the next 20 minutes or so. The professor, Brad Conner, currently in China, if you can believe that. So I'm not sure if he's tuning in live what would be later tonight in China. So so glad you could be with me here. It was a pretty big week in Syracuse basketball. Got a big win against Duke and then played pretty good against Virginia. So a lot to get to. And might as well roll right into it with the big five topics and start it out with that win by the Cuse and Cameron, which, personally, thank God that we've won a game in Cameron. I didn't want to go too long into this ACC thing with us, not winning down in Duke, because it would just add up. They'd say things like, Syracuse has never won in Cameron since joining the ACC, so that's over. So that's a good thing, you know. Duke, obviously not that good this year. Sorry about that. Emile Jefferson, they definitely miss him. But nonetheless, good win. We were the third team in a row to beat Duke. And they did snap their losing streak in their next time out. But personally, I think that Tyler Roberson's effort in that game in Duke was among one of the greatest single-game performances by any Syracuse player ever, you know. Not quite up there with Jerry McNamara at the Big East tournament or in the BYU game or the national championship game. But, man, he really, single-handedly won us that game by getting us so many possessions, 20 rebounds. The guy was unbelievable. And we had just talked last week, Brad and I, about his lack of consistency or how he's maybe a little behind the curve in development now as a junior. But 14 points, 20 rebounds against Duke on 7 of 14 shooting. Also dished out 3 assists and only 1 foul, too. Situations where some of these big men get in foul trouble, he wouldn't have even had a chance to get those 20 rebounds. And, opposite him against Duke was Coleman, 0 for 4 shooting, 5 rebounds. And if there was a contested rebound, Coleman wasn't getting it. It was like the opposite of Roberson Coleman's game against Duke. One of the worst games I've seen Coleman play. It was actually shocking. He had a couple turnovers, no blocks, no steals in 14 minutes, 3 personal fouls, and he really looks like he doesn't have that explosiveness, to go up and get those rebounds, and ineffective, totally ineffective offensively. At one point, he had what looked like a wide open dunk, and he just stopped and kicked it back out. So that's a little disconcerting. Cooney, not bad against Duke, but then again, he shot 4 of 15 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, 0 of 6 from inside the arc. In 39 minutes, 0 assists, 0 steals for Cooney against Duke. Benajay, on the other hand, 6 of 11 shooting, 2 of 5 from beyond the arc, 9 assists, 2 steals, 4 turnovers, 14 points, and Richardson 14 points on 5 of 16 shooting. So Orange wasn't shooting that great at 35%, 37% from the free throw line, which is even worse, but made up for it with almost 48% shooting from beyond the arc, and they out-rebounded Duke 49-42. So yeah, that was great. That was a great game. It's always great when you can beat Duke. A little controversy after the game in regards to Coach K snubbing about the second half of the Hughes players in the handshake line. And I know Boeheim said that, oh, he was going to some Duke fans were getting on Syracuse players, so he was going to go take care of that. But, you know, shake hands. It's a classless move not to. And everybody wants to see what a classy guy Coach K is. But, you know, upset after the loss, he doesn't shake hands. And for some of these kids, it's a thrill to shake hands with one of the all-time greatest college coaches and the coach of USA basketball and the all-time winningest coach. But they didn't get that opportunity because Coach K was preoccupied with something and basically just snubbed him. So I'm not ready to give him a pass on that. And, you know, what's even worse, or maybe not worse, but the post-game press conference with Krzyzewski, all he did was whine about the call with Richardson and Matt Jones at the foul line. You know, and saying that it was amazing. He just went on and on and on. That's all he talked about in his post-game press conference was how amazing it was that that wasn't called. And I watched the replay a lot of times from a lot of different angles, and I personally felt that both players kind of arrived at the ball at the same time. End of game play, hustle play was a good non-call. Good hustle by Malachi Richardson. If Matt Jones truly did get there first, he should have held on to the ball. He probably would have got the foul call if he had gotten there first and held on to the ball and Richardson collided with him. But definitely sour grapes. And funny thing about it, too, is that I was listening to Matt Park's pregame show in the car on the way home before that game on Monday night. And he had Krzyzewski on for an interview, and Matt Park asked him about some of the calls at the end of these Syracuse games, like the Raheem Christmas block in the Carrier Dome and CJ Fair charge call in Cameron a couple years ago. And Krzyzewski said that those end of the game plays aren't any bigger than a possession in the first half. A possession's a possession. And so he certainly changed his tune, though, in that post-game press conference. So I'm not a big Krzyzewski fan. He's obviously a proven winner. Proven whiner, if you ask me. Walk the walk, you know. Things didn't go your way, and you kind of showed your true colors, not shaking hands in the post-game line. And then really hamming it up in the post-game press conference. So, all in all, great night for Syracuse fans, boy. I was happy. I was happy all week because of that. Looking forward to the Virginia game where, you know, we win that game. Now I'm thinking we're back top 25 maybe. But big, big win for the Cuse. Great job by Boeheim and the guys. But if we push it ahead to last night against Virginia, exciting game, fun game. Frustrating game, you know, big time lack of inside play. Roberson, the hero for Monday night, basically disappeared with zero first half rebounds, which, I don't know, sometimes you get out there in the court and things just go your way, the ball bounces to you. Some days you get out there and it just seems like you just can't get to it. Game to game, everything's different, but to get zero rebounds in the first half when on Monday night you got 20 rebounds. That was disappointing. Virginia, big guys, Gill and company, were probably a little tougher than Duke's bigs. But still zero rebounds. And then here's a stat for you. Second half inside scoring, Syracuse had 2 points in the paint in the second half against Virginia. Coleman was just terrible again. Terrible against Duke, terrible against UVA. Let's take a look at the box score here from last night. Coleman, 0 for 2 shooting, 2 for 4 from the free throw line, 2 points, 6 rebounds in 22 minutes. Seemed to be, I guess, a little better on the boards last night, but one turnover, just kind of filling space in there, not really helping, hurting at times, you know. Roberson ends up with 7 rebounds in 32 minutes, 6 points on 3-of-9 shooting. And I don't know where it's going to come from. I mean, I guess Oboko's not ready to put in there. But I can't see how Chinoso Oboko could be much worse than Dwan Coleman. And Tyler Lydon, he can man that middle spot. He's not ideal. I give him a little pass as he's a freshman and a little undersized, but plays it with some intensity and really goes after some rebounds. Only 4 rebounds in 26 minutes. So you can see there between Coleman, Richardson, and Lydon, 12 rebounds for the game. That's just not going to cut it. Lydon also passed up a lot of shots, just finishing with 2 points, but he only took 1 shot, 1 3-pointer, if you can believe that. He was 2 of 3 from the free throw line. And Frank Howard came in at the end when we needed to press, tried to force some turnovers. But the real story in that Virginia game was the heroic efforts of Michael Binajay and Malachi Richardson. I mean, they're just unbelievable. Binajay 24 points, Richardson 23 points. Binajay shooting 5-for-9 from 3. Richardson 6-of-10 from 3. Binajay 5-of-5 from the line. Dishing out 3 assists, 4 steals. And you know, Virginia's very good. And they were shooting the ball well, obviously. We all watched the game against our zone. But these guys really answered the bell. Great game. Why, with those types of numbers, can we not get over the hump and outlast Virginia? Well, it's our old friend Trevor Cooney. Again, 3 of 13 shooting. 2 of 8 from 3. 1 rebound, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, 8 points, 37 minutes. And I'm going to start calling Trevor Cooney the run stopper, because it seems so many times when we have an opportunity in the middle of a run or early on in a run where we scored it back-to-back that he takes terrible shots. You know, here's a stat for you. Trevor Cooney has made 1 2-point basket in the last 2 games. He's taken a lot of shots, a lot of off-balance driving shots into trouble. I'm just getting sick of this fifth-year senior who really cost us that game against UVA. You can point to the inside scoring, but just fall in line with Binajay and Richardson, Trevor. You know, have a average shooting performance, and maybe we win that game. Here's some stats on Trevor Cooney. 7 of 28 shooting combined versus Duke and UVA last week. 7 of 28. That's 25% if you're doing the math. Richardson and Binajay had 47 of Syracuse's 65 points. And Cooney's turnovers, too, were terrible last night. How many times is he going to travel after coming off a pick and getting a pass? He averages one a game. I mean, that's something that you don't see much in high school basketball. So I'm frustrated with Cooney. He could have been the difference last night. We keep waiting. Yeah, I mean, great. Light it up for how many points every now and then, every random game, but back-to-back big games for us this week. Cooney comes up empty in both. Hit a couple big shots against Duke, but again against Duke, 3 of 13 shooting. 3 of 13 shooting. I'd rather have him not shoot. I'd rather see Frank Howard play a little more. I'm not going to say I'd rather see Caleb Joseph play, but just very disappointing. Fifth-year senior last night with Richardson and Binajay. Really single-handedly are they're both two guys, so keeping us in the game. And Cooney not really helping. out there. So, okay, here we are, edging towards February. Time to take a look at the our tournament resume. Not as bad as you might think, and when you look across the landscape of college basketball right now, you know, I think you'll find that the whole country is a little down. So you may see 12, 13, 14 lost teams get a bid. And there's not that much difference between the top, you know, like the top five ranked teams in the country and probably the 45th to 50th ranked teams in the country. The NCAA has already said that they're going to give CUSA a little consideration in the fact that Boeheim wasn't with them for that nine-game stretch when we really tanked out. So that we got that on our side. But, you know, looking at quality wins, you know, for the Syracuse team, St. Bonaventure can be considered a quality win. They're 12-5 right now. I think they're in third or fourth place in the Atlantic 10. The UConn game, UConn's sitting at 14-5 right now as well. We beat them down in the Bahamas. And that Texas A&M game is the star of our resume right now. Texas A&M 17-2. I think they're ranked 10th or 11th in the last poll. At Wake Forest, they've had some good wins. You know, they beat Indiana, they beat LSU, and they beat UCLA. Unfortunately, they're 10-9. They've really gone on a skid in ACC play. But a road win, I don't think that one will necessarily count as a quality win, but I thought it was worth noting. And the win at Duke, definitely a quality win. Duke's at 15-5. Any win, especially at Cameron, any year, it's a quality win. So, you know, you got Texas A&M, UConn, and Duke. Maybe St. Bonaventure. And then you got to look at our bad losses. Really only one really bad loss. And we know what that was. That was St. John's, one of the worst teams in college basketball. You know, when you look at the teams that they've lost to, whether it's Rutgers or Incarnate Word and others, it's hard to believe that Syracuse lost badly to them. And we lost to Wisconsin. That was an overtime. Wisconsin not having a great year. That was in the Dome, but it was an overtime loss. Boeheim was on the bench for that one, remember? We lost at Georgetown. We lost at Pitt. We lost at Miami. We lost at home to Clemson in overtime. And we lost to North Carolina at home. None of those are glaringly bad losses. What is kind of glaring is the volume, you know, of losses. Syracuse had 13-8 right now, and we're not even into February. So what is Syracuse need to do to punch their ticket to the dance outside of winning the ACC tournament? You know, I think if they win 7 of their next 10 games, they'd be safe. You know, we'd be 20-11 at that point heading into the ACC tournament, and it would be, I don't think you're going to see any 20 win teams not make it this year. I think Syracuse might be okay with 19 wins, but you know, if I want to take a look here at what it would take to win 7 of our next 10 games. Starts out Thursday night at Notre Dame. Our Notre Dame at home in the Dome there. 7 o'clock start. Game that we can win. Then Georgia Tech at home, a game we better win. Virginia Tech at home, a game we better win, although they're not playing bad. And Florida State at home. We should win all 4 of those games. So now, if we do take care of business at home and win 4 straight, maybe I'm asking a lot from this team to think that those are 4 games that we should win. But, you know, at that point, if we win 4 of those games, then we only need to win to get that 7-10 mark. We would just need to win 3 of the next 6. And it does get tougher. At Boston College, I wouldn't consider that tougher. But then we go at Louisville. Then we get Pitt at home. We get NC State at home. Then at the Tar Heels at the Dean Dome against North Carolina. And then at Florida State. So that slate when I say win 7 of 10, geez, let's look at the ones that are probably definitely a loss, and none of them, I mean, really are definitely a loss, but let's say that North Carolina being a top 10 team at their place, that's a loss. Okay. Where are the other two losses? At Louisville, probably underdogs there. Pitt at home might be tough. You know, at Florida State, maybe. I mean, look, we can do this easy enough. 7 of 10. Rest of the way. And we're in the tournament. 6 of 10. We're probably in the tournament. So, big win at Duke. No doubt. Virginia would have been icing on the cake. But we're okay. As long as we don't stumble. You know, as long as... You know, I could even see us losing to Notre Dame and winning 7-10 during that stretch, but not. Let's not lose to Georgia Tech. Let's not lose to Virginia Tech. Let's not lose at Boston College. Let's not lose to Florida State. Come on. We're Syracuse. And speaking of that we're Syracuse, Pearl Washington, Syracuse legendary point guard, my hero is a young man. Really the player who put the dome on the map has had a little setback in his battle with brain cancer. And right now he needs help. He needs some money. You know, he's trying to raise $62,000 on GoFundMe. So you can go to GoFundMe.com/Pearl Washington if you'd like to donate. I donated $31. A lot of people donated $31. Of course, Pearl's number. And I think they're over halfway to the goal of 62,000. So if you could log on to GoFundMe and make a donation to the Pearl for all he's done for Syracuse fans. I think that everybody could throw him $5, $10, $31, $50, $100, whatever you can afford. Help the Pearl be a little more comfortable. He's got a lot of needs right now. And certainly, it's a sad thing. You know, see a guy that was so amazing now back in his playing days for Syracuse to you know, have these physical struggles that he's going through. So that's GoFundMe.com/Pearl Washington. Well, I miss the professor today. It's kind of tough just talking without anybody to talk to. And it's also strange being in here on a Monday morning, but that means no Connor's Corner trivia this week. Sorry, guys. It's my favorite part of the show, too. Coming up this week for the Orange, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Notre Dame. That game's going to be on either ESPN or ESPN2. And then Saturday, a noon game in the Dome. It'll be the last game of January for us, and that'll be on ESPNU if you can't make it up to the hill. So a little easier slate this week than last week. We came off that little road trip, and we did okay. You know, beat Boston College, beat Wake Forest, beat Duke, and lost to Virginia. There was, going into that road stretch, we were wondering if they wouldn't win more than one game. So... nice turning point for Coach Boeheim and the boys. But now they just got to start taking care of business. Need some of the big guys inside to step it up again. Need Roberson to be more consistent. Need to maybe see some Chinoso Aboko. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not going to say what we need Trevor Cooney to do, because after 5 years on the Hill, I think that what we got is what we got. Hopefully he gets hot at the right times, and hopefully he has a better shot selection in the times when he's not. So, hey, I'd like to give a shout-out to Tom Clark. He's the commissioner of the Professional Bowler Store, the PBA. Which you can see a lot on Saturdays and Sundays on ESPN. They do a lot of different things now. Last weekend they had teammates, you know, two-man tournament. So for any bowlers out there, check your local listings for ESPN's coverage of the PBA Tour. Why am I mentioning Tom Clark? Well, he's a fan of this show. He's a native of the Syracuse area. I think he lives out in Wisconsin now, or maybe the Chicago area. But he does listen to the Upstate Orange podcast, and he's a big fan of the Cuse. And last week I mentioned to Brad that I didn't like Boeheim's Army this past summer. And I thought it was kind of silly, and I didn't really get into it. I did follow it. It was okay for the summer. Well, Tom Clark sent a tweet at me saying to give it a second chance, that he really enjoyed it. So I think I will, but it got me thinking about some of the things going back to the summer that I didn't like about it. And one of them was that, you know, I think our point guard was from Purdue. I mean, can we get this thing all Cuse guys? We can't find any point guards anywhere. You know, Michael Edwards, maybe. But that was one of the things that I, you know, was a little disappointing, I suppose, about it, was that there was a couple players scattered on that roster that weren't Syracuse alum. I think if it was all Syracuse alums, that I would be into it a little bit more. And but hey, I will give it a second shot, Tom. I will promise this year. It'll be actually the most exciting part of it to me was leading up to it when they're trying to put the team together. Who was going to play? There were Rick Jackson, Eric Diebendorf. I can't even remember, but that's the fun part, seeing who's available and what type of team of Syracuse alumni we can put together for that thing. So we'll see how version two of Boeheim's Army goes, you know, coming up this spring. But for now, it's time for predictions. You got Georgia Tech coming into the Dome at 11-8, losing five of their last six. Interestingly enough, their one win was against Virginia, 68-64. Notre Dame coming in at 14-5 should prove to be a bigger test, but they lost Demetrius Jackson to a hamstring injury this weekend, so it's a big loss for Notre Dame. We got two middle of the road ACC teams coming into the Dome this week, and we need to get two wins. We get two wins next week. Brad and I are back here talking about our seed for the NCAA tournament, not whether we're going to get in or out, okay? This is the week that can really put us over the top. A couple weeks ago, getting the two road wins against BC and Wake, beating Duke, that got us back on the bubble. Now we got to get on the good side of the bubble. A big opportunity to do it this week. That Notre Dame game, 7 o'clock Thursday on ESPN, possibly ESPN2. And then the Saturday nooner when Georgia Tech comes to town will be on ESPNU. So thanks to everybody for stopping by on a Monday morning or whenever you're checking us out on demand for the Upstate Orange podcast. Looking forward to getting Brad back in here. Also looking to get some more guests back in here. I know that a lot of you miss Matt Verkey this year. Hopefully Dave Barnick might be coming in soon. And so I'm not sitting here by myself in a lonely studio, you know, trying to fill a podcast up. But I didn't have much problem today. I can talk Syracuse hoops by myself. So thanks for joining me here on the Upstate Orange Podcast. We'll be back again next Sunday. Check the front page of FingerLakes1.com for the start time. Webcast schedule down at the bottom of the page. You can subscribe to our feed on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, or via RSS, and we're online at www.fingerlakes1.tv/upstateorange. So, hope you all have a great week. Hope you enjoy the two Cuse games coming up Thursday, Saturday, and we'll be back here next Sunday to talk all about it. So, have a great week, and let's go Orange.
swine time.